since chapter 15, we have been looking at Isaiah's prophecies, which he calls burdens because they are weighty to each of the towns. And all the places that he has been prophesying to are those who have an impact upon Judah and, of course, to Jerusalem itself. With this chapter, we come to an end of the burdens, and the chapters that follow begin with the Lord. However, in this chapter, we begin to move away from just the local communities into the global community. And by chapter 24, it is all about the global community. The great nations of the earth, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Medes and Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, all desired for power and conquest. The influence of Tyre was likewise worldwide, but they didn't have any interest in power. All their interest was in trading, and had its contacts all over the world. We'll have a look at that in a moment or two. We are reminded by this chapter that sometimes, rather than warfare, the peaceable power of trading may well conquer the world. We look at the China of today. It doesn't look as if they'll entertain all the nations by warfare, but it does look as if their tentacles will stretch financially over the world. And this chapter is very descriptive, together with one other that we'll look at, of the contacts and the extent of the mercenary spirit of Tyre and the Lord's hatred of it and of its being overcome. The final fulfillment of this, and you might like to read it, is in Revelation 17 and Revelation 18. Where Babylon and the fall of Babylon is spoken of. But Babylon, of course, means the end of the kingdoms, stands for the Roman Catholic Church, but also speaks of the financial, the fiscal system of the whole world and its destruction. Well, Tyre is a foretaste of these things. Now, Tarshish, mentioned in verse 1, is about as far away as you can get in the Mediterranean from Tyre. However, Tyre had lots of dealings with Tarshish. Tarshish had the finest boats. They had the biggest one because they had the most dangerous seas to navigate and because they travelled the fastest and the farthest. Tarshish, so far away, perhaps itself having trade with Gaul, France, England for tin and for other things, had reason. If anything went wrong with Tyre, to feel that it would itself be badly affected. And the Lord calls upon the ships of Tarshish. Well, ships, of course, don't actually howl, but their captains and their sailors might well. because of the destruction of Tyre, which will mean no work, no trading, no pay. It, that's Tyre, is laid waste. Now, Tyre was an island on a rock about half a mile from the seashore. And it wasn't till the conquest of Alexander the Great in 333-332 that he captured Tyre, built a causeway between the city and established a new colony just slightly inland. So, of course, nowadays we have Old Tyre and there is New Tyre. Now, this prophecy dates from the 700s. Tyre was overcome by Nebuchadnezzar in the 600s. But Alexander didn't do this till the 300s BC. So it is an island. And it's laid waste. So there's no house and no entering in. It's completely upset, destroyed. There's nothing. No entering in. And from the land of Gittim, it is revealed to them. Now, you can trace these things if you're interested in that from the early books of Genesis. Who were the sons of who and where they went? By them was the nations divided, you recall? Well, now, Hittim is Greece. But the isles and the land of Hittim are the islands of the Aegean Sea in the Mediterranean, and perhaps most especially of Cyprus. And probably Cyprus, which was a good jumping off point, you could make it from Tyre across the sea to Cyprus before, if you heard of storms coming. And of course, it's the mariners there that would have first have discovered the destruction of Tyre. And they would have let the folks of Tarshish know. How the ships of Tarshish. For it is laid waste, so there is no house, no entering in. From the land of Kittim, it is revealed to them. Be still, ye inhabitants of the isle. Now the isle is Old Tyre. It's half a mile offshore, but it is called the isle. In other words, there, a lot has been destroyed, but there's going to be no more trading, no more trafficking for a little bit, no more running about, no more industry, no more mercantile business. They're there, and they are told to be still. Be still, ye inhabitants of the isle. For a while, all this merchandise is going to cease. Now, we're going to come across later in the chapter about there being that Tyre would not be a mercantile place for 70 years. It would be forgotten. And maybe it looks as if those 70 years coincided with the 70 years in which the people of Judah were taken into captivity to Babylon. But we'll look at that in a minute. So now we have a little mention of some of the nations that are going to be affected. And in a few moments, I'm going to turn to a chapter of Ezekiel that will give you something of the full extent of it. Be still, ye inhabitants of the isle, thou whom the merchants of Zidon that pass over the sea have replenished. Now, you've heard of Tyre and Sidon. Almost as if they're one place. Sidon is approximately 25 miles north of Tyre. But it was Sidon that founded Tyre. Hence, later on, you'll come across the expression concerning Tyre, "Thou daughter of Zidon." So, the merchants of Zidon that pass over the sea, for they are a seafaring nation, but Tyre took the preeminence. They have been replenishing you, but no longer. By great waters, the seed of Sihor. Now, Sihor is the Nile. Apparently, it was a river that was black, is known in Greek as the Black River, and Sihor is the equivalent of that. But by great waters, the seed of Sihor, perhaps it's reeds, perhaps the things that can be made from the reeds, perhaps simply meaning the things that can be purchased and imported from Egypt, like special garments and cottons. Cottons, of course, would be a result of the seed of Sihor. By great waters, the seed of Sihor, the harvest of the river, is her revenue, or it has been. She is a mart, that's Tyre, a market of nations. So everyone is going to be affected. Now we'll turn, if we may, to Ezekiel 27. It's the longest chapter, and I'm going to read it, and I hope you'll be patient with me, but I tell you what we're looking for, and perhaps you can enjoy yourself. Ezekiel prophesied about 100 years after Isaiah, and in chapter 27, he's prophesying of the same event. So Isaiah prophesied of the overcoming of Tyre. It wasn't completely destroyed. The overcoming of Tyre, 100 years beforehand. When Ezekiel prophesies, it's imminent. What happened was that Nebuchadnezzar invaded and, as you know, defeated and overcame Jerusalem and deported everybody in 606 BC. Now, as the crow flies, Tyre is only 50 miles, say, from Capernaum, it's far. And Nebuchadnezzar came and he destroyed in some cases or just left the nations. But he overcame Tyre. Doesn't because if he deported anybody. But when we read that they were no longer an effective mercantile community for 70 years, it looks as if that was the same period. And that when Cyrus came to the throne and the Lord spoke to him concerning the Lord's people, at some time round about that, then it began to be that the hold of Babylon on the nations was reduced and perhaps the trading could take place again. I'm mentioning Ezekiel 27. If you're really interested, you may read 26, 27, and 28. But will we stick to ourselves from 27? All right, so you say, why do I want to read that to you? Well, I want to read that to you because I want you to count up how many nations there are. How many nations there are that are affected by the destruction of Tyre's commercial interests and ability to trade. Before I do that, I'm going to read to you little bits from the coronavirus relief work report that we had from Sri Lanka. Most of you, I think, will have seen this. But these are from different places in Sri Lanka. Worst affected are the fishermen, farm labourers and day workers because essential products are being sold at higher prices, making it extremely difficult for the poor and the day workers to afford them. So, coronavirus, doesn't it? And then we have the fishing community had been left without any work due to transport facilities being unavailable and the inability to sell and transport their fish. And another district, a village in Trincomalee, the people here are government servants, pensioners, mostly laundry workers and fishermen, who without work would have no other means of support. But they have no work. Just let me read a couple more to make the point. Because you see, it's the same thing that we're going to see happening in Ezekiel 27, and to a lesser extent, but it's there, in Isaiah 23. The parents of our preschool children are day workers, fishermen, and single mothers. While the day workers do not get employed, the fishermen cannot sell their fish, and the single mothers are at the bottom of the pile. And then in another place, the work of the believers, usually their work involves travelling from district to district, conducting their business. So they're at a slightly higher level, but due to coronavirus, no one was able to go out of their district, and so it was that they were unable to work. Another place, much harder for all the people in the Northern Promise, because their livelihood is totally dependent on them being able to get work each day. This is especially so for the believers in Kalapadu, who are mostly fishermen or women who sort the catch. They rely on their catch being transported to other places, which has been impossible during the lockdowns. Another village, their economic situation has become much worse. Those who travel further afield for work, farming, wood cutting, cooking in hotels were very much affected as they were not permitted to leave their homes. It's had a devastating effect upon their economic situation. Well, that was written this September, and it's about Sri Lanka. But what I want you to notice is whether it's by a coronavirus or whether it's by some other destruction of the Lord, the effects are the same. It's like a domino effect. There are those like at the top of the pile who become out of work. So those who depend on them become out of work. So those who depend on them get out of work. And the reading of this chapter of Ezekiel 27 may help us to see something of what the world, Lord is doing in the world today by the pandemic. Well, in Ezekiel 27, and before very long, you can get counting on the various places with whom they trade or have some business reason to have fellowship with them. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Now, thou son of man, take up a lamentation for Tyrus, and say unto Tyrus, O thou that art situate at the entry of the sea, that's where the Mediterranean meets the mainland, which art a merchant of the people for many isles. Thus saith the Lord God, O Tyrus, thou hast said, I am of perfect beauty. Thy borders are in the midst of the seas. Thy builders have perfected thy beauty. They have made all thy shipboards of fir trees of Senir. Now you can count the places if you want. They've taken cedars from Lebanon to make masts for thee. And the oaks of Bashan have they made thine oars, different quality wood, you see. The company of the Asherites have made the benches of ivory brought out of the isles of Kitty. In other words, the ivory didn't originate with the usher. It was traded and traded on again to Tyrus. Fine linen with broidered work from Egypt was that which thou spreadest forth to thy sail. Blue and purple from the isles of Elisha was that which covered thee. In other words, their sails were a unique and particular colour. The inhabitants of Zidon and Arvad were thy mariners. So yes, Sidon along with Tyre was a seagoing nation, but they provided the mariners for the Tyrians. The Tyrians didn't do that. They were all the fat cats, as we would say. But they got everybody else. The inhabitants of Zidon and Arvad were thy mariners. Thy wise men, O Tyrus, that were in thee, were thy pilots. So some of the cleverest men took to the sea, but they were expert in maps, in mathematics, in calculating, in distance, and became the pilots to whom every part of the Mediterranean was made known. The ancients of Gebel and the wise men thereof were in thee thy caulkers. Well, the wise men of Tyre were the pilots, but the best that the old men of Gebel and the wise men were able to be were caulkers. Now, a caulker is a plug. And the caulkers were the people who plugged where boats were leaking. Most worked in dry dock. But every boat has its caulker in case it sprung a leak at sea. So they all had their caulkers. They of Persia and of Lud and of Foot were in thine army, the men of war. In other words, Tyre was not an aggressive nation. It merely protected with a hired army its own interests. They of Persia and of Lud and of Foot were in thine army, thy men of war. They hanged their shield and helmeted thee. They set forth thy comeliness. Well, hanging the shield and helmet is what you do when you're in camp before you go out to battle. So this is where they settled to provide their work of mercenary soldiering. The men of Arvad with thine army were upon thy walls round about. And the Gamadines were in thy towers. They hanged their shields upon thy walls round about. They have made thy beauty perfect. Tarshish was thy merchant by reason of the multitude of all kinds of riches. With silver, iron, tin, and lead, they traded in thy fairs. Tarshish, probably Tartessus in Spain, very near to Cadiz, about as far as the Mediterranean went, virtually the end of the world. They did not have silver and iron and tin and lead natively, so far as we know, but they traded with Gaul. They traded with England, who got the tin from Cornwall. And then having got the tin, they then transported it over to Tyre for a profit, who doubtless gave it to the camel drivers of Dedan, who took it to India. But I want you to try and see the network of the global community, as far as the globe was then known, gotten through trading and through merchandise. Javan, Tubal, and Meshech, you can look up these in the early books of Genesis, Genesis 10, for example, they were thy merchants. They traded the persons of men and of vessels of brass in thy market. You remember in Revelation 18, it was a great sin in the sight of God that they traded in the bodies and souls of men. And here these nations brought slaves, the persons of men, vessels of brass as well, to their market. So it wasn't all honorable, it wasn't all honest, it wasn't all above board, and it was degrading to men in some instances. They of the house of Taguma traded in thy fairs with horses and horsemen and mules. You begin to get a picture of what's for sale there. Men, horses, horsemen, wood, garments, almost everything that could be wanted. The men of Dedan, that's South Arabia, the desert part of Arabia, were thy merchants. So they brought camels, and on their camels they brought their camel train with things from India, spices from Persia. All these things were brought overland to Tyre, and then we shipped onwards from there to Egypt, to Cyprus, to Carthage, and to Spain. Incidentally, Tyre founded Carthage, which is in the north of present-day Tunisia. The men of Dedan were thy merchants. Many isles were the merchandise of thy hand. They brought for thee a present horns of ivory and ebony. Syria was thy merchant, by reason of the multitude of the wares of thy making. They occupied in thy fairs with emeralds, purple embroidered work, fine linen and coral and agate. Judah and the land of Israel, they were thy merchants. They traded in thy market wheat of minis and panag and honey and oil and balm. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is not this the land of milk and honey? So that's what Judah did. Dan also, and Javan going to and fro, occupied in thy fairs. Bright iron, cassia, calamus were in. Dedan was thy merchant. I went wrong in my counting, because one or two of these have cropped up twice, but I'm sure you're more able than I. Dedan was thy merchant in precious clothes for chariots. Arabia and all the princes of Kedar, they occupied with thee in lambs and rams and goats. In these were they, thy merchants. The merchants of Sheba and of Ramah, they were thy merchants. They occupied themselves in thy fairs with chief of all spices and with all precious stones and gold. So some nations bought the same things as others. Doubtless some were of better quality than others. And of course, therefore, some would be up market and some would be down market, but they'd all manage to sell their items. Haran and Canaan and Eden, the merchants of Sheba, Asher and Kilmad, were thy merchants. All this was going to be affected by the destruction or the captivity of Tyre. Tremendous influence. No work, no employment, no trade. Nobody's got any money, so they can't buy any of these things. Do you see what the Lord is teaching us here? That when he wants to bring a global community down, these are the sort of things he can do. And it wasn't by warfare. Well, it was finally. But not a destructive warfare. Just a temporary, for 70 years, putting them out of business. Long enough, we're hoping, of course, that this global pandemic won't go on for 70 years. But this is what happened to the Tyrians. The ships of Tarshish did sing of thee in thy market. So they congratulated the Tyrians on their wonderful city. And they replenished them with all the things they brought across the sea. Well, I won't read the rest of the chapter, but can you begin to see the absolute network of trading influences across the then world, of which Tyre was the principal? Tyre had its tentacles absolutely everywhere, not to destroy, but financial. They were interested in money. They made their livelihoods by money. They profited by money. And from what he said here, it wasn't always honest. And sometimes it was the souls of men. But this is what they did. And when they are destroyed, this is going to affect the whole world at that time. So they are called upon to howl. Not quite like sobbing. It's much more deeply felt. Their whole livelihoods, their whole income, unless they can do something diverse, would be gone. So this is what is being foretold by Isaiah over 100 years beforehand, and it was what was imminent in Ezekiel at the time he prophesied. Well, we read from verse 4 of Isaiah 23. We can move through quickly now. We've dealt with many of the principles there. Be thou ashamed, O Zidon, for the sea hath spoken, even the strength of the sea. This is figurative language. The sea doesn't speak, does it? But what it's said to say is this. It's got no work. It doesn't travel. Can't bring them any children for education. Can't bring young men for slaves or to study in their places. Can't bring up virgins to marry or be prostitutes in their city. They're hard done by, aren't they? So if they have an educational place, a schooling as they seem to have, they would be out of business too. The brothels would be out of business. There wouldn't be any marriages worth mentioning. As the report concerning Egypt, so shall they be sorely pained at the report of Tyre. So here's this place, Tarshish, by the sea at the far western tip of Spain, and they shall be sorely pained like it was at the report concerning Egypt. Now, do you remember when Joshua was conquering the promised land? One or two of them gave in because they heard what the Lord had done for them at the crossing of Egypt and of the destruction of Egypt by the plagues, the crossing of the Red Sea. And that's what's meant here by the report concerning Egypt. Just as that was enough to put the fear into all these nations, when Joshua came into the promised land to conquer it, so Tarshish will receive the hearing of the destruction of Tyre. Pass ye over to Tarshish, howl the inhabitants of the isle. So, if you want to try and escape, go to Tarshish. See if you can do any better there. But of course Tarshish wouldn't help because Tarshish was entirely dependent on Tyre, had no other independent means. And then, is this your joyous city, whose antiquity is of ancient days? Her own feet shall carry her afar off to Sojourn. So they will flee. Who hath taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traffickers are the honourable of the earth? Who's done it? Who's done coronavirus? The Lord of hosts has purposed it to stain the pride of all glory. Now, we're still dealing with Tyre, but seamlessly, this burden of Tyre has moved us into the global community. And that's what chapters 24 and 25 will be doing when we get there. But here you can see, here is a global matter. The Lord of hosts hath purposed the destruction of Tyre to stain the pride of all glory, their glory and the glory of all the other nations who made profit by it. The Lord of hosts hath purposed it to stain the pride of all glory, and to bring into contempt all the honourable of the earth. Not many mighty are called, not many noble, but the poor. Read 1 Corinthians 1 again as a little commentary upon the contempt brought upon the honourable of the earth. But when there are destructions, when there are famines, when there is warfare, when there is pestilence, when there is earthquake, always have it at the front of your thoughts that the Lord of hosts have purposed it. Don't be squeamish. The Lord said there will be earthquakes. That nothing happens without his ordering it. So 6,000 are killed in an earthquake. You mustn't get squeamish about it. Think of the 180,000 that were killed in one night by the Lord. The Lord has purposed it. But as we shall see, the Lord's dear people will be protected in the world. And even if they suffer famine with the world, or even suffer death, or suffer the financial difficulties, it will only steel their nerves and draw them closer to Christ. They will not be destroyed with the destruction that's going on all around. The Church of God will be protected. Well, that comes out particularly later. So pass through thy land as a river, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no more strength. So this is the Lord speaking, I think, still, telling that Tarshish should just forget, go through its own land, get into its own hinterland, and get what living it can out of there, for there's no more strength to be had out of Tyre. So this is the Lord. He stretched out his hand over the sea. He shook the kingdoms. The Lord hath given a commandment against the merchant city to destroy the strongholds thereof, as he will against the whole global financial system, as he will against the false Roman Catholic religion, which is foretold in the destruction of Babylon, much of the same language in Revelation 17 and 18. So this is a type of the final destruction, the final overthrow. And this was not final. He said, thou shalt rejoice, O thou oppressed virgin daughter of Zidon. So do you remember I told you Tyre was founded by Zidon? So that's the reason for the expression, daughter of Zidon. Arise, pass over to Kittim. There also shalt thou have no rest. Right. If you can't get to Tarshish, try somewhere nearer, like Greece, like the Aegean Islands, like Crete, like Cyprus. But you'll have no rest there either. You can't go anywhere and get away from the problem, because if your merchandise and mercantile ways are being destroyed, then there's nowhere you can go that will do you any good, because all these places were dependent on you. They're going down with you, at least to a certain extent. Behold the land of the Chaldeans. Now, you remember, Abraham came from Ur of the Chaldees. But you remember that Asher, the father of the Assyrians, founded Babylon. Well, he didn't found Babylon, Nimrod did, but succeeded, and he brought the nation of Assyria into being. And what the nation of Assyria did was gathered together in direct contradiction to the Lord, who said, go into all the earth. He gathered together all the tribes that were separated in Chaldea in the deserts. It didn't exist as a people till Asher got going. And among the places he created was Ur of the Chaldees. This followed a little later, I suppose. But this people was not, until the Assyrian founded it for them that dwell in the wilderness. They set up the towers thereof and raised up the palaces thereof, and he brought it to ruin. No more of the Chaldees, long gone. Howl, ye ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste. Repetition of verse 1 to emphasize the point. And it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years, according to the days of one king. I'm not quite sure what is meant there, but I have a feeling it has to do with Cyrus. Maybe it has to do with Nebuchadnezzar and his successor, Belshazzar. But it does look from that verse as if that is the same 70 years that the people of Judah were in Babylon and afterwards released by Cyrus. And then what will happen when they themselves are free again? No suggestion that they went into captivity, just that the whole of the maritime system, the commercial system worldwide, was blockaded by the power of the Babylonians. So the Lord invites this nation, when it's restored, what to do? To repent? No. It'll go back to its former glory. I don't know that we're altogether right. We know what we mean, but we've got to be careful what we mean. When we say that after the pandemic, we want to get back to normal or the new normal. It's not what God is aiming at, is it? And it shall come to pass at the end of the 70 years. Sorry, verse 16. Take an harp, go about the city, thou harlot that has been forgotten. Going to start all over again. As it was. Make sweet melody. Sing many songs that thou mayest be remembered. So these are songs of the past, the history of the nation in its better days. And it shall come to pass after the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she shall turn to her hire, and shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. Fornication has a double meaning there, that it does act as an harlot, that there is illegitimacy, that there is improper relationships, and that there is dishonesty in the business side of things. And it's worldwide, it's widespread across the kingdoms of the world. What happened in the time of Christ? Well, Antioch was very near to Tyre and Sidon. And these verses look to be a prophecy of the blessings of the gospel coming to this region. And her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. Now, the picture is here that it shall not be treasured nor laid up. It will be for them that dwell before the Lord, so that they can be well provided for. It will be brought to Jerusalem. But it looks as if the meaning behind this is that, on the other hand, it will be reciprocated, that from Jerusalem will come the gospel. And that gospel will renew Tyre and Sidon, not as cities in their own right, but there will be saved people believing in the Lord Jesus Christ in that area. Philip spent time in and around this sort of area. So it is to be destroyed. It isn't permanent. And when it revives, it goes back to its old ways. But the Lord turns some of the fruit of that city to his own purposes. And he enables, probably by the roads of the days that the merchants had made, to spread the gospel and bring advantage to them. And this is probably what is spoken of there. It's difficult to understand that verse. It doesn't mean something of that sort, because it is still an evil city. It is still a harlot. It still commits fornication with all the nations of the world. And yet some part of her merchandise is going to bless the church. And it seems that that's true. And that the church will bless her. The Gentiles bring things to the church, the Gentiles are saved, but the elect people among the Jews bring the virtues of the gospel to the Gentiles. Well, now in chapters 24 and then 25, we shall see this worldwide effect that the Lord brings. Remember that we've said the Lord of hosts has purposed it to stain the pride of all glory and to bring into contempt all the honourable of the earth. And in Tyre, she shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. And in the next chapters, we are moving to the whole global scene. Damascus, previous burden, and Moab, previous burden, Egypt and Ethiopia, previous burdens, and even Jerusalem. They were localized. Tyre had its tentacles stretched out into the world, and we begin to see that the Lord brings about a global inconvenience through the destruction of Tyre and through the removal of its trading facilities. We see this further expanded, the Lord dealing with the global community, dealing with the world in chapters 24 and 25. May the Lord help us to understand a little from his holy word. Amen.